It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. And we begin our conversations with the candidates in the June 20th runoff in the 6th Congressional District. Republican Karen Handel faces Democrat John Ossoff. Ossoff visited the WABE studios on Tuesday, and our conversation took place before the New York Times published its story, quoting sources close to former FBI Director James Comey as saying he had written a memo in which he said President Trump asked him to shut down the investigation of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. We began, though, with the Washington Post report that the president had disclosed classified information to the Russian foreign minister and its ambassador to the U.S.
Well, it's the kind of thing that I think needs a careful look from Congress. A useful first step would be for the Senate Intelligence Committee, perhaps in a closed session if necessary, to discuss classified matters. Could hear from the heads of the CIA and the NSA to determine precisely what may have been disclosed.
The Russia relationship is a complicated one, but since they are on the same side as the U.S. in the war on ISIS, and since that appears to be what the subject of the discussion was with the ambassador and the foreign minister, isn't it appropriate to share intelligence with them?
Well, the question will be whether or not the information that was shared might allow the Russians to determine classified nature of sources and methods in U.S. intelligence gathering. When sources and methods aren't protected, that can damage intelligence sharing relationships with our intelligence partners, and it can put the lives of human sources at risk.
But should the president's discussions with a foreign power be something that Congress gets involved in? The president has wide latitude when it comes to foreign policy.
Well, I think it would be reasonable and within congressional oversight prerogatives for the intelligence committees to ask some questions, given what was reported.
You've called for an independent counsel to look into the Trump campaign's possible connections to Russian officials, and this is apart from the most recent developments. Why not allow the current intelligence committee investigations to continue? You've just talked about the value of those in looking into what just happened with the Russian ambassador and foreign minister.
Well, when it comes to the possibility that a foreign intelligence service deliberately interfered in the U.S. election, and that is something that the U.S. intelligence community has publicly stated, it's such a hot-button issue politically that I think we need an independent investigation to ensure that as we seek to determine what happened, that those conclusions are not politicized.
But those committee investigations are already underway. They may have uncovered things, again, behind closed doors that we don't even know about. An independent counsel would take a long time to set up and to get running. Why not continue with what we're already doing, especially in the Senate, the chair and ranking member appear to be working together?
Well, I think that the credibility of Congress, no matter which party is in charge, to conduct truly independent investigations of politically sensitive matters is somewhat in doubt right now.
But the independent counsel or a special prosecutor would be appointed by members of Congress.
Well, the government is run by elected officials. And what we need to do is to ensure that whether it is a special prosecutor or it's a commission that Congress sets up, that that prosecutor or those who are leading that commission have the kind of credibility and reputation for independence necessary to demonstrate to the public the seriousness with which the authorities are pursuing the truth here.
If you were in the House right now, would you push for the House to at least consider impeachment?
I don't think we're there. I think that we need a full and transparent and independent assessment of what level of interference there was by Russian intelligence services in the U.S. election. And overseers in Congress or any independent counsel or commission established to do so should follow those facts wherever they lead.
Let's talk about health care for a moment. It's a big part of the debate in this race. The Senate Republicans right now are working on a health care plan that will probably be much different than that passed by the House. One possible idea, give Americans tax credits based on income rather than age so that they could buy insurance. This is a Republican idea. Do you think it's a good one?
Well, here are the basic principles that I think should apply. No American should suffer or die from treatable or preventable illness. No one should go broke because they get sick. And no business should have to lay off employees or downsize because it can't keep up with increasing premiums.
Aren't premiums going up no matter what?
Well,
they're already going up under Obamacare.
And that's exactly why what Congress should be doing is working on a bipartisan basis to control costs and to make insurance more affordable. Unfortunately, what passed the House doesn't achieve that goal.
Wouldn't one idea be allowing more people to get perhaps basic coverage, but at least coverage against catastrophic illness if they were able to buy insurance across state lines? That's another idea the Republicans have floated.
And that's something that I would be eager to work with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to pursue. I think that there should be greater competition in the insurance market. I think the fact that insurance companies compete only within the narrow borders of our states means that consumers have fewer choices, prices are too high, and quality isn't as high as it could be.
Realistically, though, do you think it is even honest to tell people we can get premiums down?
Well, I think that if there's greater competition in the insurance market, then like in any market, that'll give consumers the opportunity to demand more competitive pricing. So I think that allowing competition across state lines is a reasonable step toward trying to get premiums under control.
Wouldn't that mean, though, to attract more insurers into the market, eliminating some of the mandates for coverage now that are in place under the Affordable Care Act, conditions that have to be covered?
I think we can allow greater competition in the market to drive down prices and drive up quality without undermining those core consumer protections. For example, protections for folks with pre-existing conditions, guarantees that women won't face price discrimination, and some medium coverage requirements, for example, for preventative health care that we know are so important to public health.
What about contraception? What about maternity care, for instance? Why should employers have to offer contraception or maternity care to some employees who wouldn't need them?
Again, we're talking about basic standards of coverage. And I think that along with those protections for folks with pre-existing conditions and women, making sure that folks who get insurance through their employer have those basic minimum standards of coverage is reasonable. But I do think we need to introduce more competition into the insurance market so that consumers can get better deals and have access to a wider range of choices.
You've talked about working with anyone. The implication is you wouldn't just toe a Democratic Party line all the time if you were elected. But assuming you're elected now, because you're almost immediately going to be running for re-election and you will probably attract a well-funded Republican opponent, you're going to need help from that very Democratic leadership that you're implying you won't always walk in line with. They'll demand your cooperation in the House. How can you achieve that independence that you're talking about if you need their help to get reelected?
One of the things I'm proudest of is that my campaign's powered by grassroots small-dollar fundraising. The average contribution is less than $50. The fact that I've got this base of small-dollar grassroots contributors will allow me to exercise independent-minded leadership in a way that most members of Congress do not.
Okay, so let's take an example of an area where you think you could work with the Republican majority, and let's rule out for the moment infrastructure spending. That's what the Democrats say almost universally. Aside from that, where could you work with the Republican majority right now?
Tax reform, immigration reform, fiscal responsibility, attacking waste in the federal budget. There, I think, are more areas where folks here in the 6th District agree, regardless of our political party, than cynical partisans who run these political committees in Washington would have us believe. And one of the things that will be refreshing about representing a moderate, pragmatic district like the 6th District is that I will feel empowered to work across the aisle to get things done.
John Ossoff, Democratic candidate in the 6th Congressional District, thank you so much for coming in and for giving us this time. We really appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure, Dennis. Hope to be back.